Welcome to Healthy Voyager Radio. I'll be your host, the Healthy Voyager, Carolyn Scott. Welcome to the inaugural Healthy Voyager Radio Show. I'm Carolyn Scott, a.k.a. the Healthy Voyager. Now, what is the Healthy Voyager, you might ask? Well, I'm going to tell you. It is an overall lifestyle brand, healthy, green, all-encompassing. It did start out in 05 as mainly a travel show, kind of a la Rachel Ray, visiting places across the globe trying to find healthy, organic, vegan, vegetarian, gluten-free, whatever your special diet may be, meals. And it has grown over the past 4 years into a full lifestyle brand. It's all-encompassing now with the travel show, now this radio show. I have what's called the Healthy Voyager Approved Directory, which is somewhat of a Zagat guide for products, services, hotels, and restaurants where these businesses have been chosen for one or more categories as like vegan, vegetarian, gluten-free, what have you, green, organic, so that it is a directory for consumers to find the best possible products out there that suit their special diets and eco-friendly needs. So that directory is online. It will also be an iPhone app available by the holidays, and it will be a print guide as well, somewhat of a Zagat guide. And we have a few spin-off shows coming out in the fall, which we have the Healthy Voyager Global Kitchen cooking show, and the Healthy Voyager Tour Bus Show, which is a celebrity show where I will be interviewing comedians and musicians and all kinds of touring celebrities and how they keep healthy and or green on the road. So that you should expect sometime in the fall, winter. So, yeah, that is the Healthy Voyager brand. I have a website at healthyvoyager.com. You can also find my blogs posted every Friday at healthyvoyager.blogspot.com, or you can link to it directly from the website. And there is also a social networking site that we just launched this summer called Healthy Voyager Passport Pals, and that is somewhat of a I would say a faux Facebook, but it is a place where you can log on and get your profile set up, and you can share all kinds of photos and music and tips and travel stories and all that good stuff. And who knows, you might meet a fellow Healthy Voyager on that website. And that is also at healthyvoyagerpassportpals.ning.com, also easily linked on the homepage of healthyvoyager.com. You can also follow us at Twitter, which is Healthy Voyager, if you look it up, or it's at the at mark for all you Twitterers, tweeters, at Healthy Voyager. So that is Healthy Voyager in a nutshell. Me, Carolyn Scott, why I came to be the Healthy Voyager is that 10 years ago, I became vegan when I moved to LA. Surprise, surprise. And I decided that if I was going to switch over to that lifestyle that I wanted to be healthy. And that's initially why I became vegan, was for health reasons. And I figured I couldn't live on bread and guacamole alone. So I began to study holistic nutrition. I worked on my master's degree and I dabbled in the culinary arts for a while. And I fell into PR early on. So I started my own PR and event planning firm and kind of put the health world by the wayside and decided to come back to it when I started to blog and take note of the places that I was traveling and realizing that it was kind of difficult for someone with a special diet to travel and eat nothing but French fries or salads. That got a little bit boring. So when my fiance and I got together when he was just my boyfriend a few years back, we started to travel and I started to blog about all my destinations and we started to film the web show, which is the Healthy Voyager series that kind of launched the whole brand. And here we are now. So crazy 10-year vegan who has decided to take upon all special diets and healthy living and green aspects. And here I am with Healthy Voyager Radio. Now, with Healthy Voyager Radio, what I hope to accomplish is to cover overall healthy living. And that can mean everything from, you know, general health, diet, recipes, that sort of thing, but also green living, healthy relationships, healthy careers, social health, and some entertainment peppered in, because I feel that being exposed to new ideas, new stories, new music can help us get mentally fit. And who doesn't like to talk at a dinner party or a cocktail party about that cool new band you just heard on some funky radio station? So that's Healthy Voyager Radio. I'm going to have a lot of guests and musicians and comedians like today who are going to help me spread the message of overall healthy living. So even though it was a travel show, it is now the full gamut of health to benefit and enhance your life. So take what you will from the show, and I welcome people to email me and contact me via Twitter. Suggestions, and if you want to be a guest on the show or a musician or a comedian that wants to promote your stuff and you're green or healthy or what have you, definitely let me know and I'll give you all that information towards the end of the show. Now for today's show is brought to you by Green Earth Travel, destinations that make a difference. GreenEarthTravel.com is the one-stop travel service for environmentally friendly as well as healthy and veggie travel. They are the leader in providing environmentally friendly travel from custom-designed vacation trips, group departures, cruises, eco-adventures, fitness, spa, family, yoga, and fundraising trips. Now, Donna Zeifinger is the owner of Green Earth Travel, and she will actually be a guest on our show in a few weeks to chat about her upcoming October retreat to Zion National Park, which is in conjunction with Best Friends Sanctuary, and they will be going to Zion for an animal care adventure trip on October 6th through 11th. And you should stay tuned or go ahead and check out her website at greenearthtravel.com for more information and look forward to that show. All right. So today's show, I would like to start off on a fun note. So I chose laughter as today's theme, as well as inviting our first guest into the studio who's going to help us with just that, with laughing. And who doesn't like to laugh? Did you know that laughing is actually quite good for you? Yeah. You can laugh your way to good health. Check it. Laugh to beat stress. Now, a study done by Texas A&M University shows that humor may significantly increase a person's level of hope, which in turn can help you better cope with obstacles and stress. The positive emotion of hope, researchers believe, stimulates thought processes and increase an individual's ability to solve problems creatively. Individuals who are able to laugh may reduce stress and depression and may thus be better able to maintain healthy eating habits. Look at that, a natural high, keeping you healthy, laughing. So, you know, go to a comedy club, go watch a fun movie. That can definitely help release stress, emotions of anger, sadness, fear, what have you. And we all know what it feels like to watch a kind of brain-numbing, funny movie when you're not in a great mood. It's kind of relaxing to turn your brain off and watch something silly and giggle. One tends to feel a lot more relaxed after a good bout of laughing. And you know what? In this day and age when the economy is the way that it is and the world's kind of topsy-turvy, we need to make some time to laugh and smile and connect with other people and know that we're not alone in this world. So laugh and giggle. Now, laughing to fight heart disease. Did you know? A scientific session at the American College of Cardiology, the University of Maryland School of Medicine, presented results of the university's study on the effect of laughter on the cardiovascular system. Laughing was found to increase blood flow by more than 20%, with a positive effect lasting up to 40 minutes. So look at that. Laughing to beat heart disease. So when your boss yells at you for watching some funny stuff on YouTube at work, just tell him you're working out, you're getting healthy. So how about this? Laughing to fight obesity. Researchers theorize that laughter reduces the hormone cortisol, which is that one in your belly that makes you fat. Nice. Elevated cortisol concentrations are thought to stimulate hunger, so reducing cortisol levels could have an opposite effect. And yes, stress does bring on cortisol. So that's why sometimes us ladies can't get rid of that pooch. So laugh it up. And, you know, when you're laughing it up, sometimes you feel it in your gut, in your abs. So there's another good reason. You can also laugh to fight off sickness and disease. Laughter can even change one's biochemical state by decreasing stress hormones and increasing antibodies. Laughter could help an individual fight off illness by increasing the body's infection-fighting cells. And there are even studies that indicate that humor may play a role in alleviating allergy symptoms. So get rid of that Benadryl and start yucking it up. And now, laughter to help your relationships. Everybody knows that relationships can be tough, whether it's relationships with your spouse, relationships with your family, relationships with your friends. And laughing brings together people and breaks the tension and helps people see the lighter side of things. So everything from marriage, families, friendships, working relationships, what have you, all benefit when humor and laughter are prevalent. And sometimes that hearty belly laugh, like I mentioned, can leave your abs sore for a while after that giggle fest. So think about adding some ha-has into your workout. You may even want to look into a session of laughter yoga. While seeming quite silly at first, it really does get you to genuinely laugh and de-stress. So check out laughteryoga.org for more info. Well, we're all about to get a little healthier because after this quick break, we will have comedian Leo Flowers with us in studio. Definitely check him out on Twitter at Leo Flowers and on Facebook, and we will have him in just a moment. Healthy Voyager, Carolyn Scott.
Have you ever seen a pet wandering in the streets and found yourself unsure if you should pick it up? How would you help reunite it with its owner? Have you thought about adopting a pet but were unsure of where to go? Hi, I'm Shelley Fabre, here to tell you that now there's an easy answer to these questions as well as a lot more. It's called Pets 911. It's a free public service that enables anyone to access all the information that will help us take better care of our pets. By calling 1-888-PETS-911 or visiting the website at 1-888-PETS-911.org, you can learn how to locate a lost pet or list one that you found. It tells you where the closest adoption facility is, spaying and neutering services, emergency pet care, general health information, and much more. So please call 1-888-PETS-911 or visit the website at 1-888-PETS-911.org and do your part to help ensure a better future for our pets.
You drink it? Cook with it? It's there every time you turn on the faucet. But what do you really know about your tap water? Do you know where it comes from or what's in it? You should, and now you can. Your water supplier will soon be sending you a short new report about your water. Look for it in the mail, and when it comes, read it. Don't let this chance to learn about your drinking water go down the drain. Learn more by calling your water supplier or 1-877-EPA-WATER.
Does your baby weigh over 500 pounds? According to the Environmental Protection Agency, a person must weigh over 500 pounds to safely process the amount of mercury still present in certain vaccines, including flu shots. And yet, these shots are recommended for pregnant women and infants.
The federal government knowingly allows mercury to be injected into children and pregnant women, but encourages it?
Yes, and that's despite numerous scientists from our best universities who have shown mercury in vaccines kills brain and immune cells and is linked to the autism epidemic. One in every six children now suffers from a learning disability.
They're trying to tell us something, but we don't seem to get it.
In 1999, the federal government and physician groups vowed to remove mercury from children's vaccines, but they have refused to honor promises made.
Mercury-free vaccines are available, but I know you have to ask for them. Demand only mercury-free vaccines, especially if you're pregnant or have a small child.
This ad brought to you by MomsAgainstMercury.org. KnowMercury.org. Friends and parents of children injured by mercury. Korean vaccines.
I don't smoke just one brand, 'cause I get mine secondhand.
The facts are in. Secondhand smoke causes lung cancer in non-smokers. Remember, it's your life.
Ours too.
Secondhand smoke.
That's secondhand smoke.
It'll make you choke. Well, that's secondhand smoke.
Help others breathe a little easier. This message from Americans for Non-Smokers' Rights.
Welcome back to Healthy Voyager Radio. Our first guest is a comedian that hails from Chicago. He quickly worked his way into major comedy clubs and colleges around the country. His delivery has been described as smooth and deliberate, making observations bordering on genius and insanity. No two shows are ever alike, and he's always attacking the issues of the day and revealing personal anecdotes. Infusing stand-up with storytelling, Leo captivates audiences of all demographics. Recently, Leo has appeared on Comics Unleashed with Byron Allen and was named the runner-up in San Francisco's stand-up comedy competition. He's nationally toured on the Shaved and Depraved comedy tour, sponsored by Headblade, co-hosted MTV's Sports Blender, and cut his acting chops in the webisode Sorority Fever. I introduce you to Mr. Leo Flowers.
Yo, what's up? What's going on? This is hot. I love this. You know what? That sounds like I wrote it or something.
Oh, yeah, maybe. Maybe. Or your publicist.
Yeah, my publicist. There you go. That sounds more official, right? Yeah, PR.
So, Leo, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm feeling real sexy right now. Yeah, your voice is kind of turning me on.
Oh.
But you're married, though.
Almost That's married.
And your husband's in the room. That's almost married.
So tell me, what's new? What can we... Okay, so we saw you on Sports Blender. And we saw you... When were you on the Byron Allen Show?
This year. It was, I think, like February. I did Comics Unleashed with Hope Flood and Ralph Harris. It was a hot show, so... From the residual checks I'm getting.
Nice.
So it's doing pretty well. And then I'm also doing a Boston Comedy Festival this year at the end of August, which is like a week-long comedy festival. And if I win that, I get like $5,000.
That's awesome.
And that'll be enough just to pay none of my bills.
Yeah.
Right.
Or pay like a car payment. Wait, after taxes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'd be nothing. I won because when I did the San Fran, I won $5,000. And that was just enough to cover me doing the competition. Like I had nobody left.
Entry fee, hotel, airfare, done.
Yeah, exactly. It was done. I think maybe I got like a cup of coffee or something with the winnings.
Well, breaking even and a cup of coffee.
You can't beat that.
Yeah.
Right?
As long as you're not in the red, right?
That's what it's about. It's like Vegas, baby. You know what I'm saying? That's all it is. You gotta take a risk. If you break even, you're good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just don't go in the red.
Nah.
So... How long have you been in L.A.?
About 7.5 years. I went to school. I got my master's in counseling. And right before graduation, I kind of had like a young midlife crisis. Like, damn, I'm going to be a counselor for the rest of my life? And so...
What kind of counselor?
I used to counsel inmates and like married couples.
Hmm.
I know. I was like 21 giving marital advice to people who were 50, 60 years old. When, you know,
And would you swap the advice sometimes, like tell the marriage counseling folks to not stab each other and then tell the other guys to be nice to their.
Right. Hey, man, just
something?
Don't drop the soap. And I think you guys will last. You guys will last long. But yeah, like when you counsel inmates, it's the hardest thing to do because you don't know if they're rehabbed until they get out. You know what I'm saying? It's not like I could like drop my wallet in front of them and see if.
Right.
Like, you know what I'm saying? So it was like, it was weird. It was a weird thing to do. These guys serving like 10 years and, you know, I got to go in every day and, hey, how are you doing? And that was like pointless. And then like you start looking at everybody else skeptically. Like, you know, like it's hard to like leave that work at work. Like, you know, everybody now is like a killer or
analyze
rapist.
Everybody.
Like if I see like a guy with his hands in his pocket, like, oh, he's a pedophile. He's probably like doing something inappropriate. It is genius. So like I had to get out of there. I wasn't cut out for it, and plus I was like, but I was good though. But I was just, my mind wasn't there.
That's probably great for your stand up because you can really analyze people and kind of.
Yeah, because especially like the marriage counseling, like everybody wants, you know, help, relationship help. You know what I'm saying? And it's like every couple that I saw was the woman dragging the guy in. And the guy had this look on his face, like, not to pay somebody to validate her feelings, you know? Like, and then, like, the woman was always complaining about communication. He doesn't talk to me enough. He's not communicating. And I tried to explain to him, like, most of communication is 90% body language. Mm-hmm. So, like, when he's not talking to you, he's telling you he doesn't want to talk to you. When he comes in, he sits in front of the television. That's his way of saying, give me a second. I don't want to talk. You just don't like the message that he's sending out. So, yeah, like, communication is always the number one thing. And then the other one is always sex. Like, we don't have sex anymore. It's not happening. I'm just like, look at you. Like, would you want to have sex with you? You know what I'm saying? I mean, you've gained, like, 100 pounds since, like, you've been married. The man and woman both do this. Like, they both complain about sex. And they both, like, get married and they get fat. And then they wonder why they don't want each other. And I'm just like, you got to, like, stay in shape. You got to, like, reinvent yourself. Like, even McDonald's still advertises. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you got to, like, You can't like let yourself go. Like you know, you're not the woman I married, so you're not going to be the woman I want to sleep with either.
Yeah, you got to try a little.
Yeah, you got to like work it out. You got to do some Pilates or yoga or whatever.
Yep.
So it's weird. I don't think I'll ever get married.
Oh.
I'm going to stay single.
Oh, yeah? Why is that? Is the LA life getting to you like, yeah, I like this bigger, better action going on out here. There's a pretty girl. Oh, that one's even prettier. Oh, that one's even skinnier.
I just realized I'm not cut out to settle down. I mean, it's hard. It's especially in like my line of work, like I'm always on the road. And like every girl I date is always like, "Oh yeah, I understand. That's fine. Go get your hustle on. I'll be here waiting for you." And then like I'll be like on a road in Louisiana and she's like, "When are you getting back?" And I'm just like, "I just left like yesterday. What are you talking about? You see my calendar. I'm getting back on the 23rd." You know, it is just it eventually always becomes an issue. So I think unless I get a 9-to-5 job or whatever, mm-hmm. I'm gonna stay single.
All right. Well, we'll check back with you in like 20 years.
Yeah. Right. or I think I'll stay single at least, and like if I get like some debilitating disease where like I'm in a wheelchair or something, I can't go anywhere, then I'll settle down. When I need somebody to feed me applesauce.
Right. So do you miss Chicago at all, or what do you see that's different between LA and Chicago, or? You know, do they both have their stuff?
I think they're both great cities. I love Chicago. I'm a Bears fan, Cubs fan, Bulls, like everything Chicago. The women, I think, are different in Chicago. The women are more like men. You know what I'm saying? Like they know as much about sports and drinking as men do. They're just like guys. They're like frat guys. And then women in LA like are all prissy and, you know what I'm saying? Like they want you to lay their coat down. Form over a puddle of water or whatever. So LA, I mean, Chicago women are just tough. I prefer LA women. I like girly girls. I like girls who smell like fruit, like watermelon. And
like they showered.
Yeah, like apricots. And so, yeah, LA. I don't want a girl who smells like dirt and grass. You
and
know what
beer.
I mean? Nah, that's, you know, I don't drink.
Hey,
so.
Chicago's cold weather. You got to get husky and, you know, put it on for the winter.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. That's the other thing I hate about Chicago. Like when it gets cold, you can't tell how fat a girl is, really. You know, like, she's all layered up. And you think she's slim because she has good jawline, and then get the coat off and you're like, ugh.
Explodes. Nice.
Yeah, right? She has like the muffin top or whatever. Oh, man, I'm not going to get a date after this show.
Oh, man. So tell me, how did you get started in stand-up? I know you were, you know, inmate right. psychology dude.
I think I've always done stand-up. Like, when I mm-hmm. look back, like, I was always a kid. Like, a lot of comedians always talk about, like, how they got bullied as a kid, and that's why they... Like, I was always the guy instigating stuff, because I always hung out with older guys, and I'd be like, "Yo, mama sucks!" And then I would get chased for, like, 5 blocks. And so, like, I would just always, like, clown kids and make fun of people. And as I got older, I mean, when you grow up in Chicago, that's what you got to do to survive. Like, you got to be a fast runner or fast talker. You know what I'm saying? One or the other. So, like, thankfully, like, I was blessed with both. So, like, when my fast talking didn't work, I just, like, took off or whatever. But then, like, when I got to college, the thing was I played football in college. And every weekend, like, we would get together in the locker room, and we would always, like, tell stories about what we did that weekend. And so, like, the key was always, like, you always embellished your story a little bit more, you know what I'm saying? So, like, I loved doing that. Guys would gather around to hear, like, my stories of, like, you know, girls I spent time with or, you know, whatever. I had to be clean on this thing, right?
That's
this
right.
Is, yeah.
This is family, so, family radio.
Family radio show. So I can't tell you the stories that I told, but I mean, you would just like embellish them. And like, there was one time I went to a party and the girl I was dating was there. And then this other girl who I was seeing was there. And so like when I told my friends the story, I was like, man, I had to walk in like I was a predator, man. Like I had to click on my invisible suit, and then, like, you know, I stood against the wall, and she walked right past me, didn't even know it, and then, like, I had to rub mud on my body to meet with her, you know, like, stuff like that. So, like, you know, we just, like, embellish stories. So, like, I've always, like, enjoyed, like, entertaining people and telling jokes and telling stories. And when I saw Chris Rock's Bring the Pain, I was like, oh, my God, like, that was, like, the eye-opening moment for me. Because not only was he funny, he was saying something, you know what I'm saying? Like he had a message. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't just like some slapstick comedy, you know, oh, marriage sucks kind of thing. Like he was really saying something that made you think.
And relatable.
So, yeah, exactly. So I think when I saw that, that's what made me say, oh, I can be funny and say something. And that's what, like, really got me into stand-up comedy.
Very cool.
Officially, yeah.
Do you remember your first show? Your first official show?
It was at a coffee shop, Hallenbeck's in Los Angeles. It's on Cahuenga, I think. And I think, like, my first material was, it was about black handshakes. Like, you know, white people think we do dap because it's cool, but we do dap because it's sanitary. We don't know where your hands have been, you know? So it was like that whole black, white, sticky thing. And then, like, I went through a Mitch Hedberg phase where, like, I was, like, doing all these one-liners where I would just be like, my girlfriend says she needed more space. So I pushed her out the car. Like, it was a bunch of jokes like that, which, like, really worked for me. But then I was like, that's really not my thing. Like, I'm way more animated than that. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? So, like, I went through a Chris Rock phase. You know what I'm saying? It was like, what? A coat for Christmas? You know? Like, so now, like, I'm finally, like, coming into my own voice because mm-hmm. I really love storytelling. Mm-hmm. And I love jokes, and I love, you know, the combining them, you know, combining the both. So I just have a lot of fun. I'm all about, like, just if I can tell you about my day, then I feel like I've won. You know what I'm saying? That's what it's about. Like,
nice.
Just sharing my story.
Very cool. So a little birdie tells me you're vegan like me.
Yeah. I think I was born vegan.
Interesting.
When I was a kid, me and my friends would go into the grocery store, and we would steal stuff. And they would always steal. Because all vegans are thieves, is what I'm trying to tell you, Radio. No. did you steal, too?
Maybe I had a few sticky fingers in high school.
I was a thief when I was a kid. Like, we would go to the grocery store, and we would fan out. And my friends would always steal, like, Snickers. And candy, and I would always steal, like, blueberries and peaches. And so, like, the security guard knew we were stealing, but because we split up, he had to figure out who to follow. And so he would always follow them because he figured, like, no brother would steal anything from the produce section. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I would always steal, like, the peaches and blueberries, and I would never hide it. Like, my friends had to hide the candy. But I didn't have to hide it because they don't put UPC barcodes on them. So I didn't have to worry about the alarm going off. So I would just, like, walk out eating a peach, and I'd wave at the security guy, and he'd wave back, and I'd just walk out. And then my friends, like, had to wear, like, these big overcoats to sneak their stuff out. So, like, I've always been into peaches, and I only stopped stealing because this kid ratted me out.
Oh.
Yeah, some kid was mad at me for something. I don't know. And he told this other kid that he was going to beat him up if he didn't tell my mom that I was stealing. And so one day I'm, like, at home, and I hear, Mrs. Flowers! And, like, I open up the window, and he's like, your son's been stealing peaches every day. And I got, like, the biggest butt whipping of my life. And then I went and beat the kid up.
Nice.
For ratting me out. Because you know what I'm saying? You don't rat people out. I hadn't even started counseling inmates, and I knew that. You know what I'm saying?
Look at that. And you could have totally spun your story and been like, but Mom, I'm eating healthy.
Exactly. See, if I was, I wasn't that sharp at 8 years
spin
old.
Spin doctor.
That's, see, I should have had
but at
you.
Least I'm eating healthy.
Should have been
Mom.
A lawyer, see.
Yeah, well, you know, I miss my calling. Well, I think we're going to take a quick break, but we're going to come back with Leo. And after the third quarter, if you would like to call in and chat with Leo or myself, the number to call is 562-945-2777. We will see you in just a few.
Healthcare Now, I'm Ann Parks. Does changing your eating habits help lower your cholesterol? Not necessarily. Miss Bonna Cole, Executive Director of Mended Hearts, a nonprofit group affiliated with the American Heart Association, says results of a recent Harris Interactive survey show just how little people knew about cholesterol.
77% of the respondents chose diet as the primary source of cholesterol. The primary source of cholesterol is our own bodies, and that is based on our family history. It's important to know all factors that impact our cholesterol health.
Dr. David Cohen, Director of Hepatology at Brigham and Women's Hospital, Harvard Medical School, says says cholesterol is a killer.
High cholesterol today is a major threat to the American population. Cardiovascular disease is the number one killer in America, and high cholesterol is a well-established risk factor for cardiovascular disease.
To learn more about cholesterol, you can go to the American Heart Association's website at www.americanheart.org. I'm Ann Parks.
Have you saved a life today?
I took two flood victims to a shelter.
I donated a day's pay to help a family that lost everything in a fire.
Have you saved a life today?
I teach a class in infant CPR.
I donated a pint of blood.
Have you saved a life today?
No, but today somebody saved mine.
The American Red Cross. Together, we can save a life. Please call 1-800-HELP-NOW or visit redcross.org to offer your support.
Hi, this is Richard Karn with a message about how you can help protect the environment. Recycle your old rechargeable batteries. It's easy. The next time you need a new rechargeable battery for your cell phone, laptop computer, or cordless power tool, make sure you recycle the old one. To learn more about recycling rechargeable batteries, call me at 1-800-8-BATTERY or visit us on the web at rbrc.org.
A public service message of this station and RBRC.
Sleep safe tonight, sweet baby, play safe today. Nothing to harm you, baby, danger's far away.
Hi, this is Tom Paxton. You know, fluffy pillows and soft comforters may look harmless, but to a baby, soft bedding can be dangerous. Whether you put your baby to sleep in a playpen or crib, leave out the soft bedding like comforters, pillows, extra padding, and pillow-like toys. These could put your baby at risk for suffocation or SIDS, sudden infant death syndrome. Always put your baby to sleep on his or her back. And remember, the only soft touch your baby needs is you.
Sleep safe, play safe. Someday when you're grown, you'll have sleep safe, play safe. Babies of your own.
This has been a public service announcement from the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission.
All right, we are back on Healthy Voyager Radio with me, the Healthy Voyager, and comedian Leo Flowers. And he was just telling us about veganism.
Yeah, I think I was born vegan. Yeah, stealing fruits and stuff. And, like, I remember, like, when I would go to college, my mom would always call me. And, like, her way of getting me back home would be like, I got some blueberries in the fridge. So, like, that was, like, her lure. Like, most moms would be like, I got apple pie or, you know, pot roast or whatever. It was always blueberries. But I got into it for health reasons. I lost my dad a couple years ago to just a number of things, cancer, diabetes, heart failure, and that kind of thing, like, runs rampant in my family. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, once I found out, like, you know, 80% of cancer in America is diet related. Mm-hmm. That made me start looking more into, you know, what I was eating, what I was putting in my body, and playing football really helped with that, because my coach would always say, treat your body like a temple, son. And, like, that's always, like, you know, rung in my brain, you know. So, like, I've always eaten healthy. And then, like, in college, I went vegan for 6 months. Mm-hmm. I was just like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to be vegan. But I was eating unhealthier because I hadn't really researched it.
Right.
And
right.
I just, like, in my head, I just thought, you know, being vegan was not eating anything that came from an animal. So anything else is fine. So I was like, right. I was eating, like, potato chips, French fries. I was just, you know, I was getting fat. I was just, like, I was getting sluggish. And so, like, I stopped, you know. And I think, like, the first thing I ate was a hot dog after 6 months of being a vegan. And I threw that up immediately. Like, my body completely rejected it. So, like, I immediately knew that eating meat was not the way to go, but I also knew that I had to research it more and look into it.
Right.
So, once I moved out to Los Angeles, fortunately, my roommate was vegetarian, and his girlfriend was vegan, and we started going to, like, vegetarian and vegan restaurants, And then I slowly started reading books on it and researching it online. And so then I made the decision one day to slowly phase into being vegan.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that was a smarter decision. Like, I just phased out red meats and then chicken and then fish, mm-hmm. and then dairy. I think cheese was like the hardest to give. Like, I just remember like sitting there with cheese, like it was a girlfriend I was breaking up with or whatever. You know, just like teary eyed, like, you know, remembering all the good times we had together in college and the grilled cheese sandwiches we had. And you know what I'm saying? It was just like, cheese is like your best. Like, cheese is like the one thing you ate by itself. Like, you didn't need. Yeah. And I just needed you, cheese. It was just me and you, remember? When she left and said I wasn't nobody, you stood. It was just like, cheese was hard. And I think for most women who I talk to about going vegan, chocolate is hard for them. So it's like, either chocolate or cheese. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
My cheese fix was tough because my grandma used to call me the rat because I would eat a block of Cracker Barrel cheddar cheese in one sitting with maybe some buttery Ritz crackers. Yeah, I loved it. Mozzarella sticks anywhere I went.
Oh, yeah. I mean, nacho cheese, you go to the movies.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, I mean, just so many memories with cheese. Cheese whiz, sleepovers. Oh, I'll just get on this. I'm about to cry right now. thinking about it.
And you've been vegan how long?
A little over a year and a half.
Wow, congrats.
Thank you. Yeah, definitely. I feel so much better. And I think a lot of people, you know, say, how do you do it? You know, mm-hmm. the diet. And for me, actually, the diet is easy.
Mm-hmm.
It's everything else that's hard. It's dating.
Living in the vegan, non-vegan world. Yeah.
Living in a non-vegan world, that's the hardest. Because, like, especially like relationships, like, I try to stay open-minded. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to date a girl who's not vegan. Like, it doesn't matter who she is. I'm not gonna judge her. And then they end up trying to convert me into eating meat again. Like, I dated this one girl, true story, and I come home one day and she has like chicken bits drizzled on her body. Like, she's like laying in bed. And she's like, hey, do you wanna come lick this off of me? And I'm like, no. Are you kidding me? Like, what are you doing?
That so is
like
terrible.
I would have girls like try to like entice me back into being a meat eater.
Wow. And,
or like, you get the girl who like doesn't want to eat as much as you do.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'll just have some water with lemon. Like, mm-hmm. just like, you know, you can have more than that. You know what I'm saying? So like, people definitely react to it, you know?
Right.
And my boys are, they do like, they eat more. They're mm-hmm. like, what? You're not going to eat meat? Well, then I have like 5 cheeseburgers and a baby with barbecue sauce. Like, they become like more carnivorous.
Right.
Because, you know,
the caveman comes out.
Yeah, the caveman comes out to like prove how good meat is. You know what I'm saying? Right. So it's funny to see how people react, because like, they always expect me to be like some vegan Nazi, and then like, they become like a meat Nazi.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, this is how good it is. I'm just like, you know, do what you do, man. Like, it's, you know, it's not for everybody.
Right.
You know, I would definitely say that, because I know people who are allergic to plants and legumes,
mm-hmm.
and that is where you're going to get the most of your nutrition from. So I wouldn't expect that person, you know, to be vegan, or even depending on your socioeconomic status, or, you know, your
cultural
stuff. Your cultural,
a lot of the time.
Yeah, because especially like for women, a lot of them, I think the hardest part when I talk to them is, they feel like it would distance them from the family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, you know, dad cooks, and if I go vegan, then I can't eat what he cooks, and, you know, he'll take that as a slight, you know? So, I mean, there's a lot you have to consider. That's why, like, if you're going to do it, you definitely want to take your time and make sure that you do it right. And
yeah, it is very easy to be an unhealthy vegan. I, too, 10 years ago when I became vegan, there wasn't even a Whole Foods in L.A.
Right.
There was Wild Oats and Trader Joe's, and that was about it. And, yeah, I pretty much lived on cucumber sandwiches, lots of guacamole, lots of bread.
Guacamole.
Oh, man.
I call it Yakamole. Oh, Yakamole!
I would go to the, like, the El Torito and get that tableside guac and eat the whole thing.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
The whole thing, which is, like, 10 avocados.
Yeah.
And then I'd be like, you know. But, yeah, it's very easy to And there's so much good vegan junk food, you know, good vegan cookies. And
yes.
It's
yes.
getting real easy to.
Yeah,
to,
yeah. I have, me and my friends, like, we have a potluck at least once a week. And I just, like, I have to, like, wean myself off of it because I was just, like, packing on the pounds. Like, the like there'd be, like, lasagna mm-hmm. and macaroni and cheese and, you know, hot dogs. You know, all, like, vegan lasagna and stuff like that. Because, like, there are a bunch of, like, vegan soul food places popping up now. And I'm just like, ugh. Like, they make, like...
good greasy mac and cheese.
Yeah. And even, like, cheesecake and, like, oh, there's, like, a vegan ice cream place opening. Ugh.
I know. It's getting...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, it's like, you know, it's like almost like where vegan is not even synonymous with being healthy. You know, like, that's a...
Exactly.
So, you have to be careful. Because I know, like... Because, like, I love, like... vegetarians who like eat everything but vegetables. They're just like, can I get a cheese pizza with Oreo cookies on top? And you're just like, you're missing the point here, Becky.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's really easy because there's so much good stuff. And, you know, in the convenience factor, you know, add that in and it can be tough. So it does take a little bit of discipline. But once you figure it out, and, you know, you like me did it for health. So we definitely tried to study it and do it right and make sure that we're balanced. Because, I mean, you could be an unhealthy omnivore and an unhealthy vegan at the same time. So it's, you know, it's all about balance. And I mean, I splurged. Yeah, forget it. Ice cream, vegan ice cream and cakes.
What? Have you been to Scoops at the Oreo cookie?
Have you had those chocolate bars, like the Twilight bar? They're like Snickers bars. They're vegan.
Don't tell me. I don't know.
Put that in your like Scoops ice cream.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
There's so many.
Trouble.
Yeah. See? Yum. Food. Here we go. Talking about food. So back to being funny. Do you think being funny keeps you healthy and positive, or
because
you see a lot of the afflicted comedians, you know, like are you the funnier, happier one, or?
No, I'm definitely the funnier, happier one. You know, the thing is, you got to have balance in life. You know what I'm saying? The people who are like afflicted with comedy, like they've tried to make like comedy their entire life, and you can't do that because every aspect of your life feeds into everything else. You know, your home life feeds your comedy, and your comedy feeds your home, and feeds your friendships and, you know, your family. So you have to, like, keep those connections outside of comedy. You have to have, like, your own life outside of stand-up. And as long as you can do that, then it makes, you know, comedy and work. Because it's a job. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And that'll just be, like, committing your life to a job. I mean, if your job is all that you have, then you're going to be miserable. You need to have some things going on outside of your workplace to keep you going, you know, and then you need to have your job to feed whatever you're doing outside your workplace. So, no, I'm definitely a happy comedian exercise and eating right. Like, I just had a friend, Kane Lopez, rest in peace. He just passed away like 3 weeks ago from lung cancer. He's a comedian. And he had it in his jaw at first, and he beat that, and then he got into a car accident and, you know, came back from that, and then the lung cancer got him. But talking about how, you know, funny is the best medicine, when I went to go visit him in a hospital, I took him a stack of Playboys. And, I mean, the whole hospital floor, like, lit up. Like, nurses who weren't even his nurses were coming in to check up on him, quote, unquote, so they could, like, flip through the magazines and stuff. And, I mean, we just had a blast, you know, just flipping through it and talking. And you know, he thanked me so much for, you know, just bringing that kind of joy and laughter, you know, to him. So, no, it's definitely a great medicine. Because when you're laughing, that means you're relaxed. You're in the moment. You're having fun.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You're not thinking about, you know, bills or kids or whatever's going on. So you definitely got to, you know, and even in this economy, like, you know, I'm on the road a lot. A lot of people are like, most of the shows I've been doing have been sold out. Like, people want to laugh. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and, for sure.
And it's definitely therapeutic. And there's nothing better than somebody saying after the show, thank you so much. I needed that, you know, to help me get through the rest of my week, and or, you know, I'll be thinking about that joke or, you know, whatever. So laughter is definitely the best medicine, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. So where do you see your career going from here? Stand up for a while. You are also an actor, right?
Right. So. Yeah, definitely. So right currently, I'm doing, like I said, I'm doing a bunch of comedy competitions this year. I'm doing Boston, in August. I'm doing Seattle in November. And Seattle is like the March Madness of comedy competitions. It's like a month-long comedy competition. It starts off with like 100 comedians or so. And then they dwindle it down to 5 and then 1. I'm doing some vegan webisodes. So these would be webisodes, basically like short sketches about life as a vegan, like my dating experiences, issues like with my agent. Like I have to go in and tell my agent that I didn't want to do fast food commercials or drug commercials. Or
do stand up at like Ruth's Chris.
Yeah, right. And so like that was like a huge, because she only brought me in to do fast food commercials. And I was just like, nice. I'm sorry, I can't do McDonald's anymore, you know. So like sketches, you know, focusing on that. And then like, you know, I have a commercial agent, and I'm working now and getting a theatrical agent so I can do movies. Cause you know, the goal is to be able to do stand up and movies, and then, you know, just go back and forth between the two. You know, I mean, I love movies. I love stand up. I love being in front of the camera. So, I have a script that I just pitched to a network. We're working on the paperwork right now.
Very cool.
So, we'll see where that goes. And then I have another feature script that I'm trying to promote now to the different networks. So we'll see what happens. I mean, I just got a bunch of stuff in the works, and I'm excited about this year and the years to come.
Very cool. Well, let's take one more quick break. We'll be right back with Leo and a great new song by Naomi Streamer.
Homework, soccer, part-time jobs, the internet. Are you and your busy kids forgetting something? Don't forget music. Hi, this is Faith Hill. Music study is one of the most valuable ways a student can spend time. Time spent in practicing and studying music reinforces teamwork, communication skills, self-discipline, and creativity. All the qualities kids need to be successful in their schoolwork and in society. Let your kids know that music is a whole lot more than what they hear on the radio. And the more they learn about it, the more they'll enjoy listening to their favorite tunes. Then maybe they can explain to you why they think it's so cool. Hey, turn off the TV and play music with your kids.
A public service announcement brought to you by MENC, the National Association for Music Education, and this station. Music, part of a sound education.
Your financial fitness. I'm Deborah Wetzel. It's no secret that money matters can put a stress on a relationship, but there are steps you can take to relieve tensions related to the daily grind of managing finances. The amount of money in your bank account is not always as important as your financial management skills, says Candace Barr from the Women's Institute for Financial Education.
Every couple should take the time to get to know one another's financial personalities and be prepared to make changes based on your new financial goals. Discuss everything from budget setting to payment cards, which increasingly play a bigger role in how people manage and track their personal finances. And the great news is you don't have to go it alone. You can find a wealth of information and free downloadable budgeting tools on practicalmoneyskills.com, a website developed by Visa.
Barr also reminds us that there's no one right way to manage your finances. It's just important to know your options and keep an open dialogue with your partner. I'm Deborah Wetzel.
Road Rage Crisis Line.
I feel so depressed.
Oh, it's not as dark as it may seem.
But I'm always being pushed down.
You know, recognizing the problem is the first step.
Oh, I recognize the problem. He's always late.
I see.
And I never move fast enough for him. But what can I do? I'm just a gas pedal.
So, he exceeds the speed limit?
Exceeds the speed limit? He runs red lights, he races around other drivers, and then he yells if he thinks they're going too slow.
Well, maybe it's time to start putting your foot down.
Well, maybe it's time he stopped putting his foot down.
An overworked gas pedal might sound crazy, but putting your life at risk by whipping through traffic and running lights is just plain insane. Think about it, and ease up on aggressive driving.
If he keeps pushing me at this pace, I'm bound to run out of gas.
Well, maybe that's not such a bad idea.
Keep your cool, and put the brakes on road rage.
This message was brought to you by your friends at AdrenalineRadio.com. Log on, then call. AdrenalineRadio.com.
And we are back with Leo Flowers. Tail end of the show. So we are going to find out where we can see you next doing some live stand-up and when we might be able to expect your webisodes out.
I'll be at the John Lovitz Comedy Club in Universal City Walk in Los Angeles, California, on the 12th of August. That's my next show. And then the webisodes, I think, won't start airing, or we won't start putting them out on the internet until maybe the end of August.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have like 13. I want to shoot them all at the same time. And this weekend we're going to shoot our first. So I want to make sure when I put them out, we could put them out every week.
Awesome. You know?
So yeah, those will all be soon. If you want to find out more, I always update my Facebook.com/Leo Flowers or Twitter.com/Leo Flowers or MySpace.com/Leo Flowers. Just type in Leo Flowers and all that stuff will pop up.
Very cool. And if you Google him, you might find some unsavory stuff, but that's all right.
Yeah, right? Yeah, a couple clips are on the internet, you know, when I first started doing comedy.
Or that's the other Leo Flowers.
Yeah, right, my twin brother.
Or that's Leah Flowers.
Yeah.
Awesome. So thank you very much, Leo Flowers. I'm very excited to have had you on today's show. And so, yes, definitely check Facebook, MySpace, Twitter, all that action for Leo and his upcoming shows. And who knows when he takes over the rest of the comedy world. As for finding more Healthy Voyager on the interweb, you can find me on Twitter as Healthy Voyager. You can find me on Facebook, either the Healthy Voyager fan page or follow the Healthy Voyager group page. And on MySpace, because it's an old MySpace, it's still under Healthy Traveler. So, but I believe if you look up Healthy Voyager, the Healthy Voyager, you'll find it on MySpace too. So yeah. And as always, healthyvoyager.com. You can see, the travel shows. You can hear the podcast of this radio show. You can see the Healthy Voyager approved directory and links and resources. Some really great websites and resources from everything from fashion to health to fun, adventurous stuff, and galleries, all that good stuff. Be sure to post your profile on healthyvoyagerpassportpals.ning.com and start sharing your stories. And who knows, maybe Leo, you can start dating people on Healthy Voyager Passport Pals, some vegan adventurers, so they won't worry when you're traveling, right?
Well, you know what? I signed up for a vegan dating website, and there are only 8 other people on the website. And they actually, my closest match was this white guy in Zaire.
Nice.
Like, they matched me up with a dude. But you know what? L.A. is very good. They have this thing called Vegan Drinks.
Oh, yeah. It's fun.
We have like 600 members in L.A. So.
And there's an international, well, at least I know in domestic, there's a Vegan Drinks in almost every major city.
Right,
so
exactly.
It's really a fun place. Yeah. Cool crowd.
Very cool. Very young. Everybody's very hip, diverse, different backgrounds. Great way to network.
Yeah. Yeah. Network, dating, what
dating.
Have you.
Yeah. It's all in one.
Yeah. Well, you know, maybe you can start the trend of, you know, hot single dude looking for a veggie healthy date that wants to travel on Passport Pals.
I'll look it up.
Yeah. Cool. So, check that out. I'd like to thank Ari Shine for the Healthy Voyager theme song. You can hear it on all my videos as well as the intro to our new radio show. And thank you to Noise Logic for our bumper tunes. And everyone else that has made this show possible. I'm so looking forward to a great run and continuing to grow with the brand and bringing on great guests and dispelling some wonderful information, educational yet fun, on the radio show. So make sure you tune in to AM 1680 here in LA, as well as AdrenalineRadio.com, AdviceRadio.com. next Thursday at 2 p.m. Pacific time, where I will be chatting it up with Miss Amy Applebaum from Bootcamp for Your Mind. Bootcampforyourmind.com. She rocks, and she will be discussing how we can stop talking and start doing, both in career and life, as well as love and all that good stuff. Now, quickly, before we wrap the show, we will be checking out this awesome new tune from Miss Naomi Streamer. She is a fellow healthy and veggie gal, and this song is called Fall Behind. It is off her new CD, The Green Album. She's a beautiful Canadian gal, and she was just mentioned in Billboard magazine. They said that she will become the commanding diva of the decade. Strong words, eh? Anyway, she really does have an incredible voice. I love this song, and enjoy. I will see you all next Thursday. Have a healthy week. Peace out.
What's happening? The ground is breaking away from me. I feel the world slipping apart before my eyes. It's not safe here anymore. Will we never be the same again? This confusion's been setting in, and this emptiness is fighting back the night. When there's no place left to land.
When I was president, the world succeeded in one of the most remarkable public health efforts ever achieved, wiping out the dreaded smallpox disease. Today, we face a new global epidemic that is positioned to become even more widespread than smallpox. That disease is diabetes. Just as we came together to defeat smallpox, we must come together to confront the global epidemic of diabetes. Diabetes affects more than 21 million children and adults in the United States alone. And if nothing is done to stem the tide, 1 in 3 Americans born in the year 2000 will develop diabetes in their lifetime. The health of our nation is at stake. I have decided to do my part to fight diabetes, and I encourage you to get involved today.